Good morning. I am Commissioner Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President, calling to order the regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on June 16, 2022. We are conducting today's meeting virtually. As provided by House Bill 1329, the Port has determined that the Port Commission cannot hold its regular meeting of June 16, 2022 in person with reasonable safety, and the meeting will be held fully remotely without a physical location. Members of the public may listen to the proceedings or watch the live web stream as follows. You can dial 253-617-4257. The code is 568-857-829-pound. Or live stream www.portoftacoma.com/commission. The time is now 10:01 a.m. We will now meet in executive session until approximately 12:25 p.m. We will be discussing one item of performance review of a public employee, two items of considering the sale or lease of real estate, one item considering the site selection or acquisition of real estate, one item potential litigation. All of these items are allowed by RCW 4230. The commission will now be in executive session until 12:25.
President Meyer, may I make a brief comment?
Yes, Eric Johnson, our executive director. Yes, please.
For the record, Eric Johnson, executive director, Port of Tacoma. I'd like to review in public session, pursuant to the guidance that's been issued to us by the state Supreme Court a few years ago, the factors that influence the real estate decisions that we will be talking about in executive session. And for this particular executive session, the factors that the commission will need to weigh will include the size and the zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deep water marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and consistency with the port's strategic plan. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that, and I will reiterate those factors in executive session. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And we are now recessed into executive session. Thank you very much. Yes, good afternoon. I am Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President. I had previously announced that the executive session would stop at 12:25 and the public session would start at 12:30. I need to revise that timeline. We need additional time. So the public session will start at 1 p.m. Today. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I am Commissioner Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President, returning to order the virtual regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on June 16, 2022. As provided for in House Bill 1329, the Port has determined that the Port Commission cannot hold its regular meeting of June 16th in person with reasonable safety, and the meeting will be held fully remotely without a physical location. Members of the public may listen to the proceedings or watch the live web stream as follows. Dial 253-617-4257, and the code is 568-857-829-POUND. Or live stream www.portoftacoma.com/commission. The time is now 1:01 p.m. We were in executive session from 10 a.m. to approximately 12. I think we stopped at 12:35. And also present with me today are Commissioners Ng, Keller, McCarthy, and Marzano. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have a flag for that? I would recommend everyone mute themselves, and then I'll just remain unmuted, and you can all say it as I go forward. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I also want to acknowledge that we are located on the shoreline of the Salish Sea, and we reside on the ancestral lands of the Puyallup tribe. The next item we have on our agenda is approval of the agenda. I just want to point out for the benefit of the public, as well as my fellow commissioners, that agenda items 7A, which is habitat mitigation strategy, the second reading, and 7D, the banana yard switch replacement project, are going to be delayed to a future commission meeting, I think targeted for August. So when I ask for approval of the agenda, those two items will be delayed. Does anyone have a change in the approved agenda? Then today's agenda will stand as posted. Any special orders of business? I don't think we have any today that I'm aware of. So I'm going to move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of approval of the minutes for the meetings of April 21st and May 19th, approval of check certifications from April 2nd to May 6th, approval of check certification May 6th to June 3rd. And then the last item on the consent agenda, approval of checks at the state auditor's office. And there are three checks with the numbers as noted. Is there a motion for consent agenda items A, B1, and B2?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor. How do we do this remotely? Do we do a roll call, Judy?
Yes.
Okay. Would you please do a roll call?
Commissioner Eng?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy?
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye.
Motion carries.
The motion carries. Thank you very much. Is there a motion for consent item, agenda item B3? That would be for the state auditor's office.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further questions, comments? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy?
Abstain or recuse.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Eng?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We are now on public comment. Is there anyone registered for public comment on the phone or any other public comment that we've received, Judy?
We have one written comment that I will read into the record from Robin Evans Agnew, RN, PhD. And she is talking about item number 7C, project authorization for the off-dock container support facility, NEPA, and frontage improvement design. And her comment is as follows. It has recently come to my attention that there will be a NEPA assessment of the proposed project and that this request for $615,000 will cover the design costs and the NEPA environmental assessment. I am requesting that the Commission encourage Port of Tacoma staff to enhance their public engagement process over the impacts of removing one of the last remaining stands of trees in the MIC, especially in view of the expected impacts of climate-related heat events on port worker health. It appears there has been little public involvement over the removal of these woodlands, yet alternative two appears to be already recommended despite the requirements of the section 1502.5C of the EIS rules, which state the final environmental impact statement shall normally precede the final staff recommendation and that portion of the public hearing related to the impact study. In appropriate circumstances, the statement may follow preliminary hearings designed to gather information for use in the statements. Further, published heat-related maps by the City of Tacoma indicate that the port is a major source of heat for the surrounding region. While climate change is not directly considered within the NEPA, I urge the Commission to request that staff consider these impacts for the long-term health of workers and truckers. Given initial reviews have been completed without evidence of public comment, I request that the Commission scrutinize the effectiveness of future measures taken by the Port of Tacoma to adhere to Section 1506.6 of the NEPA to assure transparency and engagement over this decision. Respectfully, Robin Evans Agnew.
Thank you, Judy, for reading that into the record. And that's all we had was the one written comment. Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That concludes our public comment section, and I'm on to the next one is the Executive Director's Report. Eric.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. Good afternoon to you all. It's good to see you again. I wish we could be in person, but our safety requirements today require us to be virtual. I'll start with a piece of good news. The chief's report by the Army Corps of Engineers for the deepening of the Blair Waterway was signed last month by Lieutenant General Spellman. This is a significant milestone, a very important marker in the project. This means that the chief of engineers has certified that the project is ready to proceed with the subsequent stages of the study, which includes environmental design and planning. The Puyallup tribe has indicated support for this project, and we've worked with them in some of their preliminary comments that have gone to the Corps. So that's really good. And I also note that the really key federal legislation that implements this, the Water Resources Development Act, passed the House of Representatives, I believe, last week. The chief's report signing means that we're eligible to be included in that act, which we expect to have happen as it proceeds through Congress. So that's a really important funding mechanism for us. So that's good news. Moving on to the next item, the demolition of the 11th Street Viaduct is continuing. If you have driven by, you'll notice that it keeps getting shorter and shorter. That's good news. The city of Tacoma, who owns the viaduct, is slated to approve the interlocal agreement that the Port of Tacoma already approved. You approved that at your meeting last month. I'm told that the city of Tacoma is planning to approve that ILA at their meeting on June 28th. So that's moving along as expected. Nearby on Milwaukee Way, I'll point out the removal of the homeless encampment along Milwaukee has begun with notices to those folks from the city of Tacoma. You saw that we received significant concerns from the Longshore Union, ILWU Local 23 M22, regarding safety of the workers here and movement of cargo. That's a freight corridor. And we've also received significant concerns from port staff. And so that we've been working with the city to get that situation addressed, and that has begun. As far as outreach is concerned, our bus tours have resumed, and we're getting very good interest in the bus tours. We always do. And the boat tours are still on schedule. We're planning to do the boat tours at the last weekend of August. I believe it's the 28th, and that's going to be fun. And our farmers market booths have begun. We've started, the farmers markets are back. Believe it or not, it's almost summer, though you wouldn't know it by looking out the window. But we've got farmers market booth participation is beginning this week and will continue for the next couple of months. So that's all good outreach. That's my report.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Eric. I do appreciate that, and particularly those bus tours and that public outreach, even the boat tours, are an excellent way to reach out and touch the public and let them see the port, you know, firsthand. So thank you very much for that and the staff. Next item then is commission actions. And the first item we have on for consideration is 7D, which is Commission International Travel, July through December 2022. Just a couple of comments on this particular agenda item. I think that, first of all, it's important to recognize that for transparency purposes, the Commission generally considers international travel twice a year, and this is all part of that. And it's a great way to give visibility for what's being authorized for the Commission to attend. We have really three items on the agenda for this afternoon. The first is the International Propeller Club Conference in Greece in September. It's basically 72 clubs in the ports around the world will be represented and will set the tone of this event dedicated to news and developments, opportunities, challenges, and concerns related to the future of global shipping. And we've been encouraged at the local level to attend these this conference. The other thing, the second item on our agenda is mission to Taiwan and Vietnam. Connect, this one is really organized by the World Trade Center of Tacoma. And considering the market emergence of Vietnam and the World Trade Center has really done a very good job of organizing these missions. So I wholeheartedly support it. And then the third item we have is international customer visits as needed. That's an obvious commercial activity. So what I would like, unless I hear an objection, I would like to take all three of these up for approval at one motion. Do I hear a motion?
Or, yeah,
a motion. Okay, it's been moved. A second.
I have a question whenever you get it around to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Questions, comments? Commissioner Mazzano.
Yeah, a couple. First of all, I completely agree with two and three. I'm a little bit questionable about question one with regards to I've been involved with a propeller club. I know you have done for, and all of us have a lot, but I cannot recall any of us ever going internationally to a propeller club convention. So I'm just curious as why this one is so important as to the other ones weren't.
Well, that's a good question, Commissioner Marzano. And I would say that the basis of input that I've had from a couple of the members of the propeller club, they wanted to encourage it. In fact, that's been a big rub, is the Port of Tacoma hasn't gone to any of these in the past. Because they're expensive. And so I think we've been prudent. I can't speak to the idea that this one is going to be that much different than the previous ones, Commissioner Marzano, but I can say we've been encouraged to participate at this stage of the game. And it's primarily because they see value. A couple of individuals that are involved in the Tacoma Propeller Club have seen value in the fact that the Port of Tacoma should attend these as a representation. So that's all I can say at this time on that topic.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I don't disagree with that. I just like to see us participate a little bit more in our local propeller club also. We have several memberships that we pay for through the Port of Tacoma, and it gets a little embarrassing when there's only one or two of us there at a special event. So it's just something to think about.
I couldn't agree more. Commissioner Keller.
I was going to echo the same thing for, you know, that Dick did. I think that these international travel missions seem to be, from what I've seen and what I've heard, have been more related to gathering business and creating good relationships with potential customers. And it's a lot of money. So I would, I have some reservations about number one, and I go to all the propeller club things, and I love our local propeller club and what they do. But I just think, you know, I would almost rather reserve that kind of funding for something like number two or number three.
Okay.
John, can I say something?
Yes. Go ahead, John.
You know, that was kind of my initial thought on Propeller Club. We hadn't done it before. But just in the last couple of days, I received, I think for the first time, in a long time, the international newsletter. I don't know if y'all received it, but I read it through thoroughly, and it was long, and it talked about all the issues that the International Propeller Club and individual propeller club organizations throughout the world, all the things that they're involved in. And quite frankly, I was impressed. I was impressed with the length and breadth of their involvement in, marine traffic and all sorts of maritime-related issues, merchant marine people that work on ships, all sorts of activities. So it was a lot broader than I thought. And so I thought, you know, this is an organization that's recognized internationally, and it does have some wheels under it. And it's something that we ought to consider, you know, supporting by doing something like this.
Okay. Any other comments by commissioners? Hearing none. Judy, at this stage of the game, do we have a motion on the floor?
We do. It's for all three, unless you want to amend it.
Okay. I haven't heard anything other than that at this stage of the game. So any other, if I don't hear any other comments or concerns, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Ang?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
No.
Commissioner McCarthy?
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye. Thank you very much.
Motion carries. Passed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, next item we have is 7C, off-dock container support facility. Norm, I guess you're going to be the one to making the presentation.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. President. We're going to be hearing from Norm Gilbert, who's one of the engineering project managers on the off-dock container support facility. The port has received a federal grant for this facility, as you're aware. That triggers NEPA. There are also some decisions about frontage improvement that Mr. Gilbert's going to go through for you. So I'll turn it over to Norm Gilbert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, and good afternoon, commissioners. Engineering project manager Norm Gilbert. I'm here today. Next slide, please. To request an increase in project authorization in the amount of $615,000 for a total authorized amount of $2 million for work associated with off-dock container support facility, master identification number 1012-41.01. Next slide, please. The project is located between Thorn Road and Port of Tacoma Road, adjacent to our Lot F. The combined area is approximately 24.5 acres, and we're almost nearly complete with the 90% design for a flexible off-dock container yard. Next slide, please. So this is an aerial of the three parcels highlighted in yellow that will be combined for this property in this project. Next slide, please. This slide shows the current 90% design layout of the yard. Available uses on the site include container storage, chassis storage and maintenance, reefer storage, reefer wash facility, and a pre-trip area. Next slide, please. So the overall project includes the design permitting and construction of an off-dock yard. This request is to perform the NEPA environmental assessment and frontage road improvements. NEPA assessment is now required for this project due to the federal grant that Eric had mentioned. This was added after the last time I came for authorization to the commission, so that's why we're adding it at this time. And the frontage road improvements were also an addition since the last authorization. The project always anticipated to do some frontage road improvements, but until we got in front of the city with the beginning of our permit efforts, we didn't know the full scope of those improvements. And we are currently actively working with the city to finally define those and to negotiate some of the requirements that they're asking. Next slide, please. So for project schedule, the schedule is heavily dependent on getting through the NEPA process, which is anticipated to take about 8 months to complete. NEPA must also be completed before we can get the grant award executed and we can go out to bid and start construction on this project. Next slide, please. The current project budget is estimated at just over $50.7 million, which includes an estimated wetland mitigation cost of $14.9 million. The current CIP allocates just under $27 million for this project. Next slide, please. So this is a table that breaks down those costs between design, construction, and wetland mitigation, showing the total of $50.71 million. Next slide, please. So the port is currently in process of applying for and getting all of our necessary local, state, and federal permitting, and this now includes the NEPA process. Next slide. So there is remnant contamination on all three parcels that we're looking to develop. Port remediation staff will be included and involved in all of the design and construction process so that we are addressing these contaminants appropriately. For stormwater, the site will be designed so that it meets our MS4 permitting and the City of Tacoma requirements. Next slide, please. So during construction, it's anticipated to have some temporary emissions due to construction equipment. And then during the operation of this site in the future, emissions are not expected to be changing within the global tide flats, as we're taking some of the activities that would be on terminal and moving them to the off-dock site. If anything, our goal and our hope is that we will reduce some emissions by increasing efficiency on the terminals. Next slide, please. So in conclusion, I'm requesting an increase in project authorization in the amount of $615,000 for a total authorized amount of $2 million for work associated with the off-dock container support facility, master identification number 1012.41.01. Thank you.
Thank you, Norm. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved. Yeah, it's been moved and seconded. Are there questions or comments? Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, I have a question. I guess I was my jaw kind of dropped when I saw the $50.7 million. And I don't know. Wetland mitigation, a construction, it just seems awfully high to me. Let's put it that way.
That has been a continual issue with this project.
So, we're not building a new terminal. We're just going to mitigate, understand that part of it, you know, take whatever we can. And then at the same time, we're just, you know, blacktopping or, you know, putting something over so we can have containers. We're not buying new cranes there.
Yes, Commissioner, and we've also done a very good job at reaching out for grant funding. As Eric mentioned, there's a $15.7 million federal grant that this project has been awarded. We also have just over $3 million Department of Ecology Stormwater grant that's going towards this project, and a $2 million state appropriation for this project. So we're trying to get those costs down by sourcing out additional funding.
That helps close my jaw, let me just tell you that much right now. But
Mr. President, I can add a little bit to this.
Eric.
Yeah, a couple of things. Commissioner Marzano is absolutely right. This is an extremely expensive project. We have gotten, as Norm indicated, approximately $20 million in grant money so far for this project. That's great. The 14.9 million dollar wetland, that's the Lower Wapato Creek project, which we charged to this project. That project has other benefits, including we received credit from WashDOT. You may remember, I'm not going to remember the numbers, Norm, I don't know if you do or not, but we got several million dollars in credit for the fill dirt that was used for 167, which is offset. So there's another several million dollars that were basically moving from one project to the other, if I can use it like that. And so that gets you down to about half as much. And this project is expensive because it's one of the last, the stormwater system for the tide flats is pretty much built out. There's no more stormwater room. So we're having to do a lot of on-site stormwater engineering on this project that you normally wouldn't do. So that's why this is so expensive. So Norm, did I get that right?
Yes, Eric. The system, the city system that we'll be tying into is near capacity. So we do end up doing a lot more on-site detention than we normally would do. And we're also building out a facility with our treatment system that's going to be matching, if not better, than most systems that we have on site on our properties.
Thank you.
Commissioner
Meyer, can I have a comment or a question?
Okay, go
for it, Commissioner McCarthy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't have it.
That's okay.
I guess my,
you're on the phone.
Thank you. My question, my concern is the cost as well. And because I know this is in the capital investment plan, where it was estimated the whole project, I think, about $27 million. And I think what concerns me, Mr. Gilbert, is about a year ago, I think when you came before us, I think the memo we had at that time said the estimated cost was $40 million. And then I look at this one, and now it's $50,700,000 for 25 acres. I guess, first, let me just ask you, am I correct in my recollection that about a year ago you were indicating it was a $40 million project?
You are correct, Commissioner. I think it was $40 or $42 million. Unfortunately, what we've seen in the past couple of years is significant increases in some of the construction material costs. So one in particular for paving, we've seen, I think, a $3 million increase in just that.
Right. Well, I think my constructive criticism is that you didn't mention what you had told us before. You know, you said the total project cost is $50 million. In the memo, it should mention that, you know, we had estimated it a year ago, or whatever it was, at $42 million, and a year before that we had it at $27 million. To have that history, I think, is important, because I know I had to go hard when I approved some of the spending a year ago when it was going to be $40 million for that 25 acres, which was really a huge amount. But when I saw this at $50 million, it's more, you know. And it's, the grants are good, but all of us have worked on getting the grant money. And I was hoping the grant money would take us down from that $40 million cost to what our expenditure was going to be. But the grants don't reduce the expense. They help us pay for it. But the fact that we've all worked and chipped in, and not just staff, but commissioners that get grant funds, is great. And I'm glad we're able to get those, because it's a good project and I support the project. But my preference is, if you're going to come back and ask for money on it, you tell us what you asked for before and why it's changed, especially when it's a lot of money like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. I've made note of that. Future requests, I will include that.
Good comment. Commissioner Ng.
A question, and then I think a comment to address some of the issues that had to do with the trees. Norm, how much is Lower Wapato Creek, the cost for that? I have an estimate in my mind, but I wanted to be sure.
I wouldn't speak to that. It wasn't my project, so I don't know what the actual costs are. The 14.9 is a majority of that project cost. And I would also point out that at this point, the 14.9 is our worst case situation for the ratio of credits that would be needed to offset the wetlands that we would fill. Once the Army Corps has made their determination and defined what our credit ratio is, that number may come down, or it may stay at the same number.
Thank you. That's how much the port is investing in habitat mitigation, as well as planting more trees. And I think I wanted to just speak a little bit on the letter that we've addressed to the public. So if people are watching and this has come into public comments, that everyone has similar information, that, you know, with regards to our off-dock facility on Thorn Road and those trees. I mean, I'll just read the letter partially that we've sent to people, that due to a shortage of available land in the tide flats, and after consideration of all possible alternatives, it was determined that this site is the only viable location for this type of new facility. We understand people's concerns over the removal of trees associated with this project, and we want you to know it's not a decision we take lightly. The Thorn Road site contains Category 3 wetlands, meaning it's smaller, less diverse, and more isolated from other natural resources than higher scoring wetlands. The wetlands and habitat function that this site provides are minimal due to its location within a large industrial area, and it has no direct connection to other natural areas. Replacement of the limited ecological function the Thorn Road site provides is being offset by the newly constructed Lower Wapato Creek habitat site, which is adjacent to Highway 509 near Alexander Road. That's the $15 million project that Mr. Norm Gilbert referred to. This site was built as advanced mitigation for development projects in the tide flats like the container support facility. And this is the Lower Wapato Creek was built outside of the heavy industrial area and is larger, has a direct connection to other natural areas, and provides a much higher function and value for fish, birds, and wildlife than the Thorn Road site. This 20-acre site includes a new stream channel, fish habitat, and new estuarine and forested habitat designed to increase the diversity and density of fish and bird population in the area. Throughout 2022 and 23, we are planning to complete planting of approximately 150,000 plants, including 5,500 native trees, a mix of conifers, deciduous, and willows. People have asked about trees, but there's also the Coast Guard issue about visibility on our tide flats. But this is one way that we can add trees in our area. So the creation of the Lower Wapato Creek was done in partnership with the Puyallup Tribe of Indians and their Historic Preservation Office. This site works in concert with their mitigation site built just upstream, their site functioning as headwaters and ours as the estuary for a more complete restoration of Wapato Creek. So I just wanted to emphasize out there for the public that you are gaining much more ecological value with this habitat mitigation, and the port is investing much more, I would say, dollars and plants and time into this particular project than what is at Thorn Road. Thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Ng. Good input. Any further comments, questions? Oh, I see another hand up. I'm not certain who it is. Please go ahead. It disappeared, so.
Okay. I think that was Commissioner Ng. She's already spoken.
Oh, okay, very good, thank you. Not seeing any other one has raised their hand at this stage. Motion has been made. The clerk, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Ng?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy? Commissioner McCarthy? Commissioner Meyer?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute there for a while. Sorry.
Great. Okay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you, Norm. We're now on to any new business. I'm not aware of any new business. Does anyone have anything to discuss today? Hearing none, committee reports. One of my favorite topics, Workforce Development Committee. Commissioner Keller, could I call on you to do a little bit of a update in terms of this particular topic?
Absolutely. Thank you, President Meyer. Just wanted to make sure that we let everyone know that we don't have anything to bring forward to you today. We will in July, but I want to say that Sean Egan and Leslie Barstow have done a yeoman's job of gathering all kinds of information, giving Commissioner Meyer and I a lot of good information to be able to make some good decisions and some input. We have met with we've taken a look at all the synthesized information that they've provided. Both Leslie and Sean have met with labor folks. They've met with Patty Rose and Nate Lauber. Haven't yet met with Longshore, but I know that they have a different situation with how they develop their workforce, but we will certainly continue to include them as we, you know, get this a little bit more honed in. We decided that it looks like we fall into three buckets. The port can be a convener, with all the Tide Flats manufacturers to try and help, you know, slow down or to accommodate that I guess they're calling it the gray resignation, or in the maritime industry, or people who are resigning because of retirement purposes or the silver wave. I know that Leslie has met with JMAC last week. She was on a panel with Tacoma School District, CTE Director, Workforce Development, Katie Condit, and Degrees of Change Internships, Tim Heron, and they did a great job presenting. In July, we plan to bring forward a list of items that we initially considered so that you can see where we came from and then where Commissioner Meyer and I kind of honed it down a little bit, but we still want your input. And obviously it has to meet with your approval, whatever we do. So in August, after we have your input in July, in August, we plan to come back forward after your input to potentially propose something for you to approve so that we can move it forward into the budgeting process for 2023. And so that would be an implementation project or process with regard to that. And so I would like to see if anyone has any questions at this point in time, but it's been, I think a great outreach, community outreach thing for us, for the Port of Tacoma to be doing at this point in time.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Keller. Any comments by other commissioners? Hearing none or seeing none, I just want to echo a couple of things. One is a real appreciation to the staff that worked on this topic. Not only was it a pleasure to be involved in this idea in terms of, it really was an outgrowth of our strategic planning process, right, Eric Johnson?
That's correct.
And I'm really pleased to see, we oftentimes talk about strategic planning and we oftentimes forget about implementation. This is a true case of implementation, and I'm very pleased to be a part of it. And thank you, Commissioner Keller, and all the staff that have been involved with this. Look forward to the next step. And not hearing any further conversation on this topic, I'm going to move in to
Commissioner
John.
Mark, can I ask? Thank you.
Yes.
Quick question. Well, thanks for the work of this committee, the two of you, for working on this. Really appreciate that. In terms of process, I know in earlier draft, Sean Egan kind of talked to all of us, other commissioners that weren't on it, to kind of test our temperature on some of the things and whatnot. So when you bring this back, I hope that it's going to come back in two phases, or one phase where we as a group of five have a chance to talk about it before mm-hmm. we actually vote on it, in case there's some modifications to it. Is that what you were thinking? Or?
Very definitely. Because, you know, we've gone off and we've really canvassed the community. And part of the problem I think I've had, I know personally, is just kind of honing it in and sensitizing it and really trying to figure out what role we can play. Because the issue of workforce development, there's a lot of players, there's a lot of programs, and there's a lot of need. So the question is, where do we want to play? So I definitely, that was all part of our game plan, Commissioner McCarthy. Is you need to see it. We need the opportunity to talk about it in a discussion format. And then, you know, the whole idea really here is that we ultimately are going to need some resources to implement on this. So the idea that Commissioner Keller was talking about is, well, let's get the policy out there. Let's have a discussion on the policy, and then we can put it in the budget to make certain we can implement in real time. So yes, to answer your question, yes.
So Commissioner Meyer, can I also add a little bit? And Commissioner McCarthy, I think both Commissioner Meyer and I felt very strongly that you take a look at the original list that was given to us to consider. So it's going to be a little bit more information than probably you would want. But I think that, and then we made some suggestions. So we want you to see the original list. We want you to see our suggestions, and then you can talk about it and decide, because you may see some things on that original list that we didn't think were important, but you think are important. So definitely it's going to be five commissioners who are going to decide how this moves forward so that in August, that when you take a vote, you have, everybody has their hands into this, and their hands, their eyes, their ears, and everything. So we're going to be very transparent about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for raising that question. Okay. Unless I hear anything different, we're going to move on to the next topic, which is an issue briefing, Port Enterprise Application Strategy and Planned ERP Implementation. Aaron, I guess you're going to be lead off on this? Or Eric?
I'll introduce the topic and then turn it over to Aaron. So, yeah, you're going to be hearing from Aaron Galeno, our CFO, as well as our director of IT and one of our senior managers in IT. One of the things that I discovered that was kind of a surprise to me when I first came here to the port 3 years ago was how many software platforms we use. There were and remain an awful lot of different systems that we use here. And our IT program, just to to summarize, they're proposing that we modernize some of that and I would say simplify it a little bit, move from lots of programs down to a smaller number. And some of those programs are getting pretty old and end of life. So that's the theme here. And just wanted to give you some insight into that. Also, it'll tee up some of the budget discussions that are going to occur in the fall. So Aaron, I'll turn it over to you.
Terrific, thanks. If you can advance to the next slide. And so Mark and Martin asked that I, as a frequent sponsor of many of the application lifecycle and technology projects, that I kind of kick off some of the background and introduction around this topic. And, you know, when we think of the lifecycle of a technology asset or application, it's much shorter than, say, a bricks and mortar or a forklift or some form of rolling stock. And so really about 10 to 12 years is kind of the expected life. And as I joined the port in 2009, they were just rolling out an effort around an improved ERP and financial system, and that's been 12 years. And so as we're looking at reducing our application portfolio and streamlining, there are some older technology that we are removing, but then we're also looking forward to say, what is our long-term strategy? And really one of the things that has served us well is to lean into Microsoft products. And so for example, some of the IT or email capture tools that we would use, we would use that and somebody would acquire it and then retire it. And so this strategy of kind of leaning in and looking at the next life cycle around how we leverage these tools that will be with us into the future is a great strategy. And the IT department's done a really fantastic job of kind of laying this out. So this briefing is really to help inform you as we come back with the budget and some of the future projects, especially as it relates to our financial applications. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Martin, and he will move you through the presentation. Thank you.
Great. If we could have the next slide, please. Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Martin Adamson, Senior Manager of Enterprise Applications in the IT department. So really what Aaron is describing are assets that are coming towards the end of their life cycle. And software, like any other asset, they become harder to maintain and more expensive to maintain as they get older. So using an analogy, if you think of it like a car, you know, maybe our current systems are a solid daily driver that has a couple of 100,000 miles on it, and we've maintained it well, so it's reliable, but we know that it's not going to last forever. So really the responsible thing we feel to do here is to begin to plan for the replacement of some of those systems. One other additional factor that we want to consider as we're doing this is changing the strategy that we've used for a few years. So traditionally, we have employed what's termed a best of breed strategy, and that's where we have separate software systems for each business need. So often each department has an application. And lots of organizations do that, and it served us well for the last few years. But the downside of that is that you end up with a large number of systems, and we have to maintain all of those systems and support all of those systems. So as that portfolio grows, it becomes harder for us to maintain. So that best of breed strategy, again, returning to the car analogy, Similar to having a garage full of different cars for different purposes. Maybe we have a truck for hauling and a minivan for road trips. And if we ever get a sunny day again, maybe we need a convertible for that. So we can meet any specific need with that garage full of cars. But again, it's a challenge to maintain them all. It's a big overhead to keep that many assets in play. So we have developed a new application strategy, and that's been approved by the port's IT steering committee. That's every C-level executive in the port of Tacoma and the NWSA is that makes up the membership of the steering committee. And there's three main parts to that application strategy. So the first is that all our applications will be cloud-based moving forward. That really is a modernization strategy. That's the direction that all software is moving in. So we want to take that step now, and we already are. And again, that's going to allow us to be more responsive to business changes, more agile in making modifications to our systems and processes. As Erin mentioned, we're prioritizing our investments in Microsoft software. We have a large investment today, and it makes sense for us as a fairly small IT group and organization to standardize in that space. And Microsoft really are seen as the industry leader for organizations of our size, and considered to be cost effective for that part of the software market. Just a note, we do purchase all of our Microsoft software licenses from the Washington State Department of Enterprise Services master contract. So it's a pre-competitively bid contract that all government agencies in the state can use. And if we purchase additional licenses for these new systems, we'll use that mechanism as well. And then finally, simplification came up a couple of times in Eric and Erin's introduction. And to do that, to kind of make sure that we're standardizing and shrinking that footprint, we've identified five software platforms that we're going to focus on in the future. And that is the topic of the next slide. And so with that, I'm going to hand it over to Mark Miller to walk us through that.
Thank you, Martin. And good afternoon, commissioners. Mark Miller, the IT director. As I was considering joining the port over 2.5 years ago, the five strategic platforms on this slide made the port an attractive opportunity. So first, Microsoft Dynamics 365. We have Dynamics GP today, and it's an industry-leading enterprise resource planning platform, and I'll talk a little bit more about that on the next slide. Microsoft 365 is the cloud productivity and collaboration platform that includes our email communication, our Teams collaboration platform, which we're actually using today to conduct this meeting. Microsoft Azure is a very industry leading. It's number two in the industry on cloud services as a cost-effective way to buy compute services, storage, and data management. IBM Maximo is our enterprise asset management platform used by equipment maintenance and facilities maintenance to manage all of our assets and keep them proactively maintained and repaired. And then finally, Esri ArcGIS is the industry-leading geospatial platform for tracking our properties, our environmental sensitive areas, those types of things, and it's used by multiple staff members. So next slide, please. So around Microsoft Dynamics 365, as a component of our enterprise application strategy, our plan is to migrate our core financial applications off of Dynamics GP onto the Microsoft 365 ERP platforms. Currently, we have separate applications for accounting, financial planning, contracts, and purchasing, along with billing as well. Replacing these applications with one integrated software platform will improve efficiency and reduce costs in the long term. The port has over 90 large and small individual applications. Implementing an enterprise resource platform will lower IT support and licensing costs. The Dynamics 365 project was included in the CIP for 2023 and 2024, since approved by the steering committee in 2020. So now I'll hand it back to Martin to kind of tell you how we're progressing on that project to move forward. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Could we have the next slide, please? Thank you. So this is our final slide. And here I wanted to just provide a brief project status and highlight our next steps. So staff worked to define high-level requirements, we term them capabilities, required in our new enterprise resource planning or ERP system. And we used that information to issue an RFI, a request for information, in November last year. Reached out to the Microsoft partner community to kind of validate our assumptions and to make sure that the system would do what we needed to do. And the responses we received to that RFI, they indicated that Microsoft Dynamics 365 will be able to meet the port's ERP system needs against a high-level set of information, but there was nothing that indicated so we wouldn't be able to use it successfully. The estimated implementation costs from those RFI responses were between $1.5 to $2 million. Again, I'd say a provisional estimate. There's more work to go into defining a more accurate number. And that the initial design phase of the project and then the implementation phase of the project combined would take about 15 to 18 months. So that was very useful information. The RFI really served its purpose. Yes, yes, Commissioner.
Oh, I just wanted to let you know that you'd cut out a little bit there, but you're okay.
Okay, all right, thank you. Yeah, I see I'm getting a little bit of choppiness here. Let me continue. If I'm still having problems, then please let me know. The next phase of the project is what we're working on at the moment. So the planning and design phase has been approved by the Information Technology Steering Committee, and we're proceeding forward with issuing an RFP for the project in July. Of this year, and once we've worked our way through that, takes several months to advertise and review and interview partners, potential partners. But once we've completed that selection process, our plan is to return in Q4 of this year to the Commission to ask you to consider approval of the design and implementation services contract with the vendor that we select. And that's the end of the presentation. And with that, we would be happy to answer any questions that the Commission have.
Well, thank you, Martin and Mark and Aaron. Any questions, comments by commissioners?
Commissioner Meyer, I have a question.
Commissioner McCarthy, please.
I must say, whenever I listen to presentations on things like ERP and IT, I tend to get in a fog, especially when I'm on the telephone, it's even worse. But how much of this cost will be shared with the Northwest Seaport Alliance? And I assume this system is applicable to both, and so will they share in some of the cost of this?
So Aaron can probably answer that better than I can, but this will be charged to the IT department of the Port of Tacoma. And as with all the expenses that the IT department incurs, there's a charge to the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I can't remember the percentage at the moment. I think it's around 90% of the costs of the IT department, which would include the cost of this project, end up getting charged back to the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Aaron, is that accurate?
So we actually do have a service level agreement that we review annually as part of the budget, and we look at the systems that are in play for both the Home Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and we apportion that really based on a user base. There's some fairly reasonable ways to look at the cost. So the short answer is yes, where the Northwest Seaport Alliance is utilizing systems that have been implemented and maintained by the Port of Tacoma, they are, as part of the service agreement, paying for being charged for that cost.
All right, thank you. That's helpful. Second question is, it's hard for me to figure out what's necessary and what's not. I do know this, we're really a small organization. If you compare this to other governments or corporations or businesses, we're really pretty small. Even the alliance is pretty small. So tell me, an organization of our size, is this the type of system and practice system that's being implemented by other governments or corporations of similar size?
Martin, I'll take that if I could. Commissioner, the Microsoft Dynamics 365 is traditionally considered one of the leading mid-market applications. So that would be for organizations in the $100 to $500 million in annualized revenue. That's kind of the sweet spot of that application. It's the next generation of the Dynamics GP. And so it's right-sized for our organization. What we'll be doing, though, is putting more of our business processes in this next-generation platform, like purchasing and contracts and some of our financial planning, which today is in other applications.
Okay, that's helpful. One final question, Mark, you might be able to help. I'm trying to get a gauge on with what we stand as our organization on IT-related application strategies or practices is how it compares to other governments or organizations of similar size. And you don't have to answer this now, but if you at some point in time, you gave me some information that kind of reassured me that we're in line with other similar size organizations in terms of what we're spending for this type of effort, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Very good. I'll follow up and put the document together for the commission on that.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Keller.
Great. Thank you. Having gone through this a couple of times with my own business and knowing the amount of work that it and the amount of money that it costs to be able to implement something like this and to also do all the back end work to be able to get it to go live. What kinds of, I have found that my employees had the most difficult time learning a new system, number one, and also adhering to a new system. And so what kind of training are you going to do and what kinds of procedures and things like that to get staff to be able to work with this and feel comfortable with this?
I'll start and I'll let Martin add some color as well, Commissioner. First of all, this is a big change. You know, this is something you're doing in every 10 to 12 years. So it's not something that staff is used to doing every day. As an IT team, we are doing projects all the time, typically 10 to 20 projects a year, but this is a very significant one. Just contextually, when the port migrated to Dynamics GP, In 12 years ago, the investment was $1.9 million for that project. So similar investment level to migrate to that next generation. That was a big lift because it was a fundamentally different system. What makes this project a bit more achievable is it's moving from a similar platform. So we're on Microsoft Dynamics. This is just their next generation. Doesn't mean it's easy, but our users should be able to adapt. It'll have the same system interfaces, the same similar logic. It will still be a change that we'll need to train all staff on across the functions of accounting, financial planning, contracts, and purchasing. Martin, anything else to add on that?
Not really anything meaningful. I just reiterate that the you know, one of the things I find myself saying at the moment quite frequently is that it's a great question, Commissioner. But one of the things I find myself saying is, you know, change is hard, but sometimes change is necessary. And I think this is one of those situations. And we will absolutely build into the project. And I think we already have this in our, you know, in our initial plans, is to make sure that we do it in a way that the organization can absorb. And that we go through a thorough planning and design process first with a strong partnership with the business units and the IT staff to, you know, to make sure that we're able to meet those needs. And then as we actually move into the project and begin to, you know, to implement some of these modules, is it'll absolutely be training and processes defined and developed so that we're making sure that the staff will be able to be successful with this. But it will be a challenging project. This is a lot of change. We'll try and make sure we're positioning everybody well to be successful.
Great, thank you. As you know, IT is not everybody's comfort level. So, and it's the same with our staff too. So yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
I qualify for that.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments by commissioners? Well, thank you so much, Aaron, Martin, and Mark, for your time, your efforts here. And, you know, I can't tell you, I've been involved with a few system changes. I just hope one day that I can hear about a system change that came in on budget and actually met the user needs. So good luck. Look forward to the implementation. And thank you so much for your time and efforts. Okay.
Thank you
very much. I'm on to announcements, commissioner comments. Commissioner McCarthy, any comments?
Okay, turning my mute button off. No additional comments and announcements. I look forward, hopefully, to everybody being healthy and not exposed to COVID so we can all meet live at our next meeting.
Well, I would agree with that. Commissioner Marzano.
No, I just echo what Commissioner McCarthy said. Everybody stay safe.
Thank you. Commissioner Eng.
Yes, stay healthy and safe, my fellow commissioners. And also, happy Juneteenth, a holiday to recognize the freedom and justice for our fellow Black Americans.
Yes, very good. Commissioner Keller.
Great, thank you. Also, happy Father's Day as well. Also want to thank our staff and the other commissioners for following COVID protocol since several of us were exposed. It's important to keep everybody healthy. And I think that those people who I don't think anybody ended up getting COVID, and I hope that they don't. But if they were vaxxed, I'm sure it would be, not as big of a deal as if they weren't. But I also want to appreciate the people who come forward and do public comment. And want to thank the letter that we got today. Appreciate the people who show up, who are involved in their government. And you have to know that we are actually, as commissioners, very hungry for public input. So we appreciate what you do. Don't think that, you know, you're not being a pain or a problem. We really encourage that and want that. So thank you. And everybody, stay safe, stay healthy.
Very good. Great comments. And with no further business before the commission, we will adjourn. The time is now 2:06 p.m. Thank you very much, everyone. Great meeting.